And welcome to...
And welcome.
Yeah, and welcome. This is...
Welcome.
This is our... I'm Ryan, and you are...
Kurt.
And I'm you Kurt. Are...
Kim.
And we're basically three of the folks that make up December's Children. And we're going to start our second episode of Album Corners. Now, you may remember from last time, we reviewed the album Exile on Main Street. It was one of the albums that kind of... influenced us as a band when we were a lot younger.
Sure thing.
But this is another one that did, and it isn't a Rolling Stones album.
Hey.
Yeah, so yeah, I know a lot of people say, well, all you guys do is Rolling Stones stuff. Is that all you know? Yeah, we know an awful lot of Rolling Stones stuff, but no, there are other bands that influenced December's Children, and there are other great albums out there that we're going to talk about. And one of them today is Muswell Hillbillies.
Hillbillies.
I would edit that out, but I'm not even going to bother.
No,
right,
don't
now.
Worry.
Yeah. No. Muswell Hillbillies by the Kinks, and this goes back to 1971. So this is a year before Exile on Main Street, then.
Yeah.
I think Exile was 72, so.
Yeah. It was recorded August through October 1971. I don't have a release date because I didn't look that up.
So that's 2 months. 2 months for an album. That's actually pretty quick.
Record it, yeah.
Yeah. So I just want to start off with a little Muswell Hillbilly story, how we came across this album.
That's a good start.
Before we talk about the album itself. So back in high school, we were the local band, and we had a friend who absolutely, for whatever reason, really adored us as a group. And he was our pal. Yeah. His name was Paul, and he had an eclectic taste in music. He would always suggest albums that I should listen to.
I hate when people suggest albums to me, too.
Right? And
it's the worst thing.
It is.
Because even when it's an album that I end up loving, I have to wait and be like, and listen to it later.
It takes away from it if somebody...
I'm like, yeah,
it's like,
whatever.
Yeah. And I remember he had ordered me a cassette tape of a band called Too New.
Oh, yeah, Too New.
To the digit 2 and U, and it was a free tape. If you called some 800 number, and he gave me that cassette tape. It is still in the shrink wrap to this day.
You know, I heard about them not that long ago. I don't remember where, but they're not as obscure as we thought they were.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, they had this song called "This Is Ponderous."
Yeah,
and it was about dreaming and all this stuff. I woke up from this dream, and I never got into that experimental stuff. Yeah. That just stream of consciousness stuff. So I was like, yeah, Paul, you might be a little bit more eclectic on your taste than me. So I never did listen to that. He did come back years later. He said, "Oh, you said you listened to this." Right, and it was still in the wrap. So, and now I can't open it and pretend I did. I think, but anyway, one of the albums.
You just said you just got a hairdryer and you just put the shrink.
Yeah, I just redid. Yeah,
you're gonna sell it.
That's how I store all my albums.
Yeah, Paul.
So he did suggest another album from one of his favorite bands, which was the Kinks. He loved the Kinks.
I can't blame him.
Right, and I didn't see the beauty of the Kinks at that time. At that time, my knowledge of the Kinks was probably so tired of waiting for you, or waiting for you.
Yeah, like All Day, All Night.
Yeah.
You know.
Things like that. I didn't know anything.
Really got me. Yeah.
Right. So he gives me the album, and of course, just like the Too New, it sat on the shelf forever, and then the next day at school, he's like, did you listen? No. And he finally had to say, just please, actually listen to this one. Mm-hmm. You have to. So after he pleaded enough with me, at the time, we would go...
We should have really listened to Too New.
Right? What would that have done to us in our formative years? So
he was right about that.
He sure was. That night then, after he begged me, I went home, and at that time, I would listen to headphones, listen to albums, listen to music in bed just before I fell asleep, and I put this thing in here, and from the very first riff, once the drums came in on the opening track, mm-hmm. which we'll talk about in a second here, 20th Century Man, I was hooked on this album. I mean, that's as quick as it was. It just blew me away.
Yeah.
So then the next day, before we get ready for school, I said, Kurt, dude, Paul's right. This Muswell Hillbilly, this is great. And I'm sure you were probably thinking...
Probably. That's kind of my attitude.
Yeah.
Most of the time. The look you gave is not audible, but I'm sure everybody knows the look.
People know the look.
Yeah, and I don't remember the moment I heard it. I don't remember listening to it. I don't remember any of that. I just remember, the history of that is just sort of gone.
Okay.
So it just sort of exists in my memory, like it's always been there.
Right.
Like it's just a feature of my brain now.
Right. Well, I'm filling you in on that.
Well,
so
thank you.
Yeah. So before school, I played
it. I'm glad my memories exist somewhere.
Right. So the opening track is 20th Century Man, and right here. Yeah, man. When that, and I had that cranked on my parents' stereo, like... Yes.
Well, and the funny thing is, there's no bass. This is drums and acoustic guitar.
Is that right?
Yeah. The bass doesn't come in until much, much later. Like, almost all the way through the song.
Oh, okay. I guess that's something I haven't really really analyzed.
Yeah,
so that's
very
interesting.
It's kind of a weird... kind of a strange arrangement. Estrangement. Estrangement.
That's a good word.
It's an estrangement.
That works.
To go through for a song like this, because it's a real rock song, and it's just acoustic guitar and drums.
Right. Yeah, it starts off...
through the very beginning.
Yep. And you were going to kind of do a guitar lesson on that. That opening riff a little bit
later.
At the
end, I think it will, yeah.
Yep, so I like that idea. So this one sets its own for a crazy album. Now, this album could kind of almost fall into the category of rock opera, isn't that right? I mean, it kind of tells a story.
Yeah, kind of. I think they like to pretend it's not a concept album, from what I read. My source is Wikipedia. Don't tell anybody. They like to pretend that it's not a concept album, whatever. And in by all rights, it's not. But there's a clear theme throughout the whole thing. It has... You could make a story about it.
Oh, definitely.
You wanted to make a jukebox musical sort of thing based on it, you easily could.
Yep. And in fact, I used to take people out on drives on the gravel roads in North Dakota many a night, and I would play this. And I had a story. I forget what story it was. But I had somehow concocted a way for all of these things to fit.
Yeah.
And it was like so good.
Yeah.
And be like, oh my, I get it now. But I forgot what the story was. I think it was something about a guy going insane.
There's a lot of that on here.
Right. There's a lot of insanity on there, no doubt. Well, I mean, the second track of the album is Acute Schizophrenia. So
yep.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, Kurt, do you think that this album had influenced us in any way at those?
Yeah, oh, I'm sure of it. But it's, to me, it's like a lateral move from Exile on Main Street. It's kind of... Exile on Main Street, if you like something a little bit with a little bit more of an English folkier edge to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because there's a lot more acoustic guitar in it. Ray Davies plays mostly acoustic throughout the whole album.
Right. And that's kind of what we do all the time, too. Plus, it's got one of my favorite aspects. There's a lot of ragtime in here, too. And I absolutely love kick line ragtime. It's my favorite.
And that's the type I thought that was really neat. I didn't know that was going to be in there.
Yeah, and I think in the Kinks, that's sort of one of their things, is using really old stuff in with their, you know, modern day music.
They're pretty theatrical. I absolutely love that about them. Yeah. And I think that might have influenced us in making musical albums like 42 Dance and Mailman or something like that.
Sure.
All right. Well, on to the next song here. I mean, this is one of those albums where almost every song is good. You know, we're talking about Exile on Main Street. That's another one of those albums. This is definitely right up there. There's no single material here either. Was anything released as a single?
I don't think so. It really failed commercially. It was beloved by critics. They absolutely loved it, but it just failed miserably sales-wise. And it was the first album on their new deal with RCA. They had their contract with Reprise had run out, Reprise in the U.S., and... they went into the studio and they consciously made an effort to bring a full band, and they were going to bring horns on tour, all that stuff. And they were going to make an album that they could play in that format. And I think, this is a good, example of that. So it's,
okay. And Kim, this album has really touched Kurt and I, in the inspirational hearts over the years. But what I wanted to do for you last night was to give you basically a first exposure to it, to kind of hear what you kind of thought. So as we play some of these songs, I want you to let us know if they sound
how
good to you.
How they touched me.
How they touched you. and what you think is a strong song.
Show us on the doll.
Show us on the doll where the Kinks touched you. Yeah. So we want to know what you find is a good song. Now, 20th Century Man is one of my favorites. Right off the bat, first one. So Acute Schizophrenia. Now, what's this song about, Kurt?
Well, obviously, from the title, you kind of get a good idea of what it's about.
Yeah.
But I think it's... the whole album has a paranoid sort of feel to it. And I think the theme of the album is sort of...
it's the government.
Reaching... Well, kind of.
Yeah.
It's an aspect of it. It's sort of Ray Davies' idea of reaching back to the past and trying to hang on to it, you know. It's I think this song is kind of about the idea of paranoia.
Right. And I do remember on, now I'm starting, it's starting to fill in the blanks here of the stories I used to tell. Yep. He's definitely going insane, from the modern life, you know, from 20th century man, he's starting to lose it. When you start getting into complicated life, he's starting to try and put that schizophrenia mm-hmm. away and his yeah. troubles away. And he's just going to relax. He's going to stop ironing his shoes. You know, some of the classic
I think
lines.
I got, with this song, I think what I get from it is that this person doesn't believe that there's anything wrong with them, but people are trying to tell them that they're just, right. they're being paranoid or that whatever, that sort of thing. So
even though the milkman's a spider and the grocer keeps on following
yeah,
him.
Sure.
Yeah, 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 yeah. All right. Well, here's Acute Schizophrenia. And I've been to my local head shrinker. They'll classify my disease. He said it's one of the cases of acute schizophrenia he sees. Well, the milkman. That's another one that's going to, that gets those drums to come in. And I yeah. absolutely love that. So he was just about to say, the milkman's a spider, the grocer keeps on following me. And the tuba. Love the tuba.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, I love the horns and the clarinet in there.
And, well, you're a clarinet player, right, Kim?
I am.
So, yeah, she's always got a soft spot.
Not that great of a one. No. Clarinet player anymore. Like high school great.
One of my favorite parts of that, too, is the acoustic guitar, because it's on a weird, I don't know for sure, but I think it's a weird little resonator guitar that he's playing on it, because it has that sort of hollow sound. It doesn't sound full and like a full, thick acoustic guitar, and I kind of like that, because it adds the, an old jazz songs like that would have...
Like Mills Brothers and stuff, you're thinking.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Would normally have a banjo. Well, this doesn't have a banjo. It has that small resonator playing in the...
Okay, well, something we should maybe take into account for a couple of... We were going to try and do a kind of a ragtime Dixieland
yep.
jazz band, and
yep.
we are going to do that.
Look
for that soon.
I would love to do that.
Yeah, look for that soon. And remember...
Just you wait.
You just wait. I mean, things are about to get crazy, Kim. The future has just begun. And remember, you can always visit DecembersChildrenND.com for updates on the music, and we might be putting a song or two up there. As we move on, though, to Holiday. This one was always one of my favorites.
Yeah. This one leads almost directly from what we were talking about
okay.
into itself. It's because it has that jazz progression, and it actually has a banjo on it. So it's not like they didn't have a banjo to be playing in the other parts of the other songs, but they just and, it's here to augment.
Okay, the beginning of this song, I don't think we have that on the clip here, but the beginning of this song sounds an awful lot like the beginning to Stars Shining Right Above
yep, sure.
You.
Anybody
else?
It has a progression like that. No, thanks.
Yeah.
No, you're good.
So here's Holiday, and this song is just about, I think this is another one about he needs to go away. In this song, he's glad that they sent him away. I'm
yeah.
also glad they send me away to have a special little
and
holiday.
And I think the whole album, almost every lyric is sung with tongue-in-cheek a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't know that he's necessarily all that excited about it, but... He's kind of
right.
Telling
it might
you
be
that
even sarcastic in there,
yeah.
and then the following song, when you get into Skin and Bones and Alcohol, in my mind, Kurt, at least, and everybody gets different vibes from albums. The Holiday was he was so glad they sent him away. He's off to a resort, air quotations,
yeah,
basically
sure.
an asylum.
Yep.
And the Skin and Bones, he's in Alcohol. He's singing about people that he's met there. Is what I thought. You
that's
know,
fun.
So that's the gal at yep. Skin and Bones. She's got an eating disorder. This guy's a drunk. That's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah,
and maybe that isn't what their intentions were.
I think, well, some of it, from what I read, one of the ideas was that people he knew from his childhood and stuff, he was kind of including them in this tableau of society, whatever kind of deal. So.
Okay. Well, let's hear a clip of Holiday off the Muswell Hillbillies by the Kinks.
I really love the distant miking on the vocals, too.
Yes, yes.
I'm not sure
very interesting.
What made them think to do it, but it's just such a cool... sound because it juxtaposes the whole thing. The lazy way he's singing it, too. It sounds like he's just laying on the ground and there's a microphone in the room.
Right. His saukas and my blisters. And you know, you're talking about tongue-in-cheek meanings. It sounds like he is physically singing tongue-in-cheek on that song. As you gotta get down on my knees. He sounds a little funny if you listen closely. He really does. Holiday, always one of my favorites. And I think we used to sing that, right? We used to try it anyway.
Yeah, probably.
We did a lot of Holiday. Yeah, so. What are your notes on Holiday?
Well, it was just that. The arrangement is mostly keys, acoustic guitar, banjo, and accordion. Those are the primary instruments. I'm not sure there's anything else, even.
It's effective, though.
There might be. Yeah, it's such an interesting way to do it. Like, it's things that I've always wanted to do, just overall. That kind of jazzy progression, that kind of old time feel.
Yeah, and hopefully now we can finally do that. I'm really getting excited for the future. Just to get it out there, if you're hearing this, Kurt made us a new drink that he invented. For this podcast.
I will get into it and describe it in a couple of songs.
Oh. Oh, did I ruin that? Okay.
Spoiler
alert. Let me chew some ice into the mic.
Okay.
Everybody loves that, I hear.
Yeah, yeah. Well.
I'm enjoying it.
All right. So Skin and Bones, another cool little upbeat kind of. Bam, 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 bam. I absolutely love this song. It's really hard for me to pick one of my favorite tunes off this album, but we'll hear a pretty good clip here of Skin and Bones. Cool electric part in there.
Yeah.
Stay away from carbohydrates.
Well, yeah, the slide guitar is a really cool part.
She used to be so cuddly, she used to be so fat, but she's also thin. She's lost all the friends that she had. Can you imagine? Poor girl. She's skinny now, so people don't love her anymore.
Well, isn't there another lyric, too, where she walks by and because they can't see her?
You can't see her walk by. Yeah. She don't eat no mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no butter scones.
I really enjoyed that.
So you think that one... Okay, so...
That has to be one of my favorites.
We are a quarter of the way through the album. That's bar none your favorite so far, Skin and Bones?
Out of the four we've gone through
okay.
so far, yes.
Okay.
Is that your favorite of the four?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. We're every quarter, I'm going to ask you exactly. We're going to give you... I want a quarterly report from Kim.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like that it's just a rock band format, and yet it still has that sort of old-timey
show tune.
Feel
yes,
to it
does.
Somehow.
I know.
And I don't know if that's just who Ray Davies is, but, you know, you hear some of the later albums, and you go, okay. Yeah, they're
well.
And
the Village Green
sort of
is like that
yeah,
too.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and that was the album before this, I think.
Yeah,
the one right before.
So there we go. Another song that was really popular for us in school because of its subject matter, I suppose. You know, when you're a kid, being bad is cool. So if there's a song about alcohol or something like that, oh yeah, this is a great song. But you know what? Incidentally, this one is. Now this is a story about a whaler, right? A sailor who used to be a whaler.
Who used to be a sinner, who used to be a winner. I know. I thought all my life growing up, it was a sinner who used to be a whaler.
Yeah.
It's a sinner who used to be
so,
a winner.
A hot topic right now. This is like Yanni versus Laurel, the Yanni Laurel thing right now, actually.
I don't get that.
Yeah, yeah. It's,
I didn't hear either.
I heard Yanni at first and then I heard Laurel. But anyway,
I didn't jump on the bandwagon at all.
A couple of months ago, there was some dispute on that over the internet. Mm-hmm. It went viral. But okay, so this is a story about a sinner who used to be a winner.
Way to go.
And this guy, right? And this guy enjoyed a life of promise and position, right?
Yeah.
And this is his story because alcohol done destroyed this boy.
Such a shame.
And it's a shame. What a great chorus. Oh, demon alcohol. More of that. Boom, 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 boom. With a tuba. So I'm in love with the tuba, guys. I got a
tuba,
you know,
instead
come
of
clean.
Bass. I believe that's this song.
Sure. Yep.
Tuba. Yep. Tuba is the whole low end. Holds down all of the low end. There's not a bass guitar.
And one of my favorite portions of the song, they really break it down with this ragtime feel on this one, especially. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I loved this part.
Thank you. Oh, man. Kim, I think I know what we're doing tonight. We're going to have to listen to this album again, because we've been putting it on in kind of the background. We've been getting the studio ready for the podcast and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I don't think we really absorbed it like the alcohol.
Yeah, speaking of alcohol.
Sure.
Now I will explain where this comes from.
Well, I was just, you know, I wanted to, you know, people to know that we were aware of the ice hitting the glass.
So this song mentions several types of alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ones that I didn't know what it was for a long time was Pernod.
Right. I had no idea either. Yep. In fact, I used to think he was said Brno in the song.
Yeah.
That was Brno or some sort of tequila or something.
And so many years ago, I bought some and I drank it and I was like, this is gross. I don't like licorice.
Right.
Because it's an anise flavored liqueur. And so I had some Dr. Pepper on hand and I mixed them and I went, oh, wow, this is actually really good. So when it came time to do this album, or to this album on the podcast, I decided I'm going to make a signature drink.
Okay.
So I made my Dr. Pepper and Pernod for it, and I named it the Joe Frazier.
And why?
Because he was the heavyweight champion when this album came out.
1971. So now that is
pretty
clever.
And I feel
like
every drink has to be based on a boxer's name.
Okay. Okay. Yep. I like that. Yep. So that will be, okay, we've now discovered a new tradition now with December's Children and the podcast Album Corners. From now on, we will look at the year that the album that we are dissecting was made, and then whatever
we can't do,
whoever was the heavyweight champion or just in the news, right? We can pick any.
Yeah, because I'm sure we'll run into multiple albums at the same time,
right?
In the same year,
mm-hmm. Right?
We can't be drinking Buster Douglas's every time we.
Right, or you know, yeah, whatever that other guy,
that one other boxer,
you know, that guy.
Mickey Mantle. So I don't want...
Yeah. The boxer Mickey Mantle. Yeah.
I was thinking of that one. Jack Dempsey's. Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
But let's all drink.
All right. Well, thank you,
something tells me we aren't going to drink very many Jack Dempsey's.
Let's all have a drink of this.
Okay. Mm. That is one of the best mixed drinks I've ever had. We do another.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm serious. Now, we do another podcast.
He's
in fact,
so full of it.
I'm serious. we do another podcast for those listening right now called DC Exposure. We're going to start taking local bands from the area, highlighting their music, finding out who they are as people, and having a lot of fun, right? So, we had the Mechantics over earlier. It's a podcast you can also find up on our website and the Patreon page. But, you gave them some of these drinks, and I think it was T, the bass player.
I asked him how he liked it.
He had a sip of it. He comes out white as a ghost, and we're like, how was it? I hated it. I hate licorice and Dr. Pepper. And I'm thinking to myself,
two of the things
wouldn't you have known
most.
That before you took a drink of that?
Yeah,
you saw him mix it,
yeah,
right?
I think he was trying to be polite.
Yeah, right. Oh. I'll take this, but I love this.
I don't know, maybe
absolutely
he wasn't in
this.
There when I mixed him.
That could be. So to me, for those who remember Nibs, because Nibs had a different taste than traditional black licorice. I mean, they are black licorice, but they had a little different flavor to it.
Well, because of the candy coating or whatever it was.
No, that's Good and Plenty.
Oh, the Good and,
you're thinking Good and Plenty, yeah.
Well, I thought Nibs had something in it.
Nibs,
anyway.
No,
anyway.
That's Snaps.
Oh, yeah.
Snaps are the candy coating.
About those.
Yeah.
I did not realize
let's,
there were so
guys,
many.
Guys, let's do a candy podcast.
We really should.
I feel like we're going down that lane
I think
right
we've
now.
Squirreled a little bit here, but we're just trying to describe the taste of our new new
just
drink.
Replay the alcohol clips. For
right,
me.
Yeah. Oh. All right. So,
and every time that clip, the jazz clarinet clip comes on, everybody has to take a drink listening to this.
Every time you hear a note from a clarinet. Every note is a sip.
Oh, I was trying to make an actual thing. You
oh,
guys,
okay.
Right?
So, okay.
So just randomly, just click on it and then everybody has to take a drink.
Okay.
Whenever that happens.
Okay. Oh, more traditions are being made here. Yes. Okay. I love it. Another great song of the album. Now it's unbelievable how well this flows and how fast it's going, but we're up to Complicated Life. Now,
yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about what went into that, Kurt? Is there any
nope.
any? There's no backstories on it.
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
No, the thing you'll hear that I noted about it, because I just what I did is I went through all these songs and I would take a note on something that I really liked. My favorite part of the arrangement or whatever, and it's the slide guitar that has a steel guitar sort of vibe to it.
Okay, so and I hope that that's in here right now, Kurt, because
it's through most of the song, I think.
Yeah, we should have coordinated our talking points versus
no,
the clips,
fine.
But here we go. Oh, there it is.
Yep.
Gotta stand and face it. Life is so complicated.
Yeah, life is overrated.
Yeah, and I...
Life is...
Yeah, and that's the thing I wanted to talk about. When we did Dying Inside, it's kind of this song that I had in mind. And other people would be like, oh, that's a Beatles thing. And it's like, no, it was this song. Really made me think of it.
Yeah, our Dying Inside is an awful lot like Oblidi Oblida, but the call and response parts are definitely like complicated life. And that's a song that actually I love to put... Not so much anymore because it's been a long time since I've really listened to this exclusively in my day-to-day life. But back in the day, you know, 10 years ago, during the darker parts of your life and problems, a holiday and complicated life really kind of soothed me.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, cut down women and cut down booze. Bills are rising sky high. It's such a complicated life. But he's singing about it in such a happy way.
Yeah, and
I'd say it's a really good sing-along song. Like,
oh,
it's
it is.
Because the chorus is la-di-da-di-da.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Which, you know, you can't go wrong doing la-di-da-di-das because everybody knows the words.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So from complicated life then, I think that his, again, this is from Ryan's perspective of rock opera. I've always seen it as way more of a continual story than probably they ever did.
Probably.
But it's just lends credence to the fact that music is so interpretive that you can get whatever you want out of it.
Yeah.
And I thought that, you know, he was released from the asylum and he's now... It's a complicated life, man, but it's okay. La-di-da-di-da, I'm just going to sit here and stop stressing about the things that put me in the asylum in the first place. He stopped ironing his shoes, for crying out loud. So, and that all that is in the lyrics. But in my mind, by track 7, it didn't quite work out for the man, and the people in gray had to come and take him away. And I don't know if there's a difference between gray coats or white coats in this story, but... Yeah. This is
probably supposed to be like government.
Right, whatever. Right. Yeah. That is absolutely what it's supposed to be because it's an undertone of a working class.
Well, right, but the
portion of society.
The thing that inspired the album, this is what I read about it anyway, was that his parents, before he was born, his parents were moved from Holloway, which was this nice, you know, urban area, to the suburbs in Muswell Hill.
Right.
Near Muswell Hill. And then he wanted to write about that, them being forced from their homes into a different area. And, you know, some of it was because of the war, depression, stuff like that. So
right. So there definitely is a story here. And it's not just about a guy being insane. It's a lot about government invasion or intrusion in people's lives, for sure.
To a degree, yeah.
So the people in gray are coming to take him away. And let's hear a clip of that tune right here. Here come the people in gray. Another one that... has that drum build in a boom, 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 boom. Yep. Love this part. It's almost got a canned heat. His vocals sound like canned heat.
Yeah,
those
drums don't get more 70s than that. How dead the toms are.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, they're deadened.
Oh, I love it, though. Love this song. People in gray to come and take me away. Yeah, and you know what else I get? What's interesting? And Kim noticed this. Last night, it's interesting that he's talking about a thing that really happened to him in England, and he's mentioning so much, and as we get into later songs, he's mentioning so many American sites, West Virginia, and Hillbillies in Oklahoma, and New Orleans, and Tennessee. I've always thought, you know, we like to consider ourselves somewhat educated, and we know where things are on the globe, but I don't know if we're comfortable enough to write... on a national scene, you're nationally famous, to write about another country's locations. They know so much about our culture to say
talk about Cornwall or something like, to be in Cornwall.
Right. Can you imagine? Exactly. I would never go on that ledge to try try that. So
I wouldn't know anything about it.
Yeah. And why do you think they did that? Is it something that a British band feels that they have to do? In order to gain the broader appeal in America, do you think they have to start?
I can't imagine that was it. I think part of what, because there's a romanticism about America, the American West to some people, like the Westerns and things, and the American South in some aspects, like the, you know, wide open space sort of thing. That concept, I think, really appealed to the British at certain times in history. Probably still do. I don't know.
Well, I think it. Yeah, I think it takes about 4 hours to drive across their entire country. Yep. So, can you imagine that? It would take us 4 hours to get to South Dakota from here. Do you have any production notes on People in Gray? It's just that it sounds so 70s there with the Dead and Toms. That was a technique they were using at the time.
Well, in the 70s, a lot of the drums were really dead. Like you'd stack tea towels on the snare drum and tape them down and get that dead, so it didn't ring at all. And that was totally the opposite from the 90s. The 90s became like everything is ringing everywhere.
Yep.
But the thing I wanted to talk about on this song was the high harmonies, and they're all over this album. But he has a harmony part where he goes off into in a strange direction, and it's always kind of like backed off of the mic, and that's something I've tried to do many times. I just did it now, if you can hear that. So you get more room sound on the high harmony than you do on the melody.
And I don't think. I don't think that I have a clip of the me and my baby.
There's more. Because I know, more I know that's what your album. So.
Yeah, I don't think I've.
Me and my baby. I think it's this chorus.
It's going to stop right there. So, because the drums are coming. Me and my baby. Yeah. So that's Ray Davies doing that?
There's more of them. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I don't think there's any other vocals. I couldn't hear any other. Background vocals, except for one song later.
Okay.
It'll be an obvious set of other vocalists.
Well, back in the day, again, I was so proud of this album. I was enamored with it. I listened to it all the time wherever I went. I would also try and expose people to this type of music. And one of the ones that really tested well in the teenage market, it actually even in the lower 20s market of folks at the time, was Cup of Tea. Everyone loved to sing along.
Seems
to this
odd,
one.
Doesn't it?
It does. For my sake, have a cup of tea. Have a little cup. Everybody jammed out to this one because it's great. You can see us driving down the road just jamming right now.
We weren't the coolest people.
Oh, man.
I
love the piano and the and the solo is perfection. Everything is perfection. As far as I'm concerned on that song, everything is perfection.
That song strikes me as what British country would be.
Okay.
What if somebody from the UK were to write a country song without having any knowledge of what country music is, it would be that.
Okay.
Because it's about having a cup of tea.
Right.
It's about your grandmother giving you a cup of tea to fix all your problems, whatever. And it's got a country feel without being overtly country until that bridge. The bridge is pretty much American country. It is what country sounds like.
Yeah, so that's our like drink a beer.
Yeah.
And hopping in a pickup truck.
Yeah, kind
of. Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
Okay. Now you'd mentioned earlier that Ray Davies was born in Holloway and carted off. He lived in Holloway. So,
I don't know. They may have moved before he was born. I didn't.
Okay, but he had spent some time there.
Let me consult my source, Wikipedia. No. Well, I don't have any other sources. What am I going to do? Call him?
Right.
Excuse me.
You don't, Mr. have Davies. His number?
Kim, we're another quarter in. So.
Favorite song?
Well, that is more than a quarter.
Oh, yeah. I realized that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
I forgot.
Stop it. Just play along.
I know, but...
So, what's your favorite song?
This is going to be the toughest quarterly report, I think.
Yeah, because it's not
so
quite
a
quarter.
Great
I've
songs
just... I'm
in there.
Arbitrary. Right? Right?
But
you're going to have to go with Cup of Tea, right? But
I was going to say... in between Complicated Life and Cup of Tea.
Oh, yeah.
Out of those...
Okay, good choice. Good choice.
It's Cup of Tea.
I was looking at the thing. He put cup of tea.
Because that's our song.
Cup of tea.
Cup of
tea. Ours is cup of tea. Theirs is half a cup of tea.
Cup of tea.
I think it... Let's consult. Can you grab that for me?
Have a cup of tea. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Okay, so our song is cup of tea.
Yeah.
No doubt inspired by this very song.
Yeah, no doubt loved it.
It really was.
Quite Stefani loved this.
No doubt inspired this song.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. Oh, you are reaching. Okay.
It's getting thick in here.
Okay, well, All right, now in the saga, I have no idea what happens here. I don't think I ever did count. Maybe when I was showing people this rock opera, which I thought it was, I maybe skipped over this one, but Hallway Jail, they're taking his baby away now. And now it's getting serious, man. It's getting real. This is another one where the drums are going to come in and kick your butt in. Love it. Love that.
You know what? This song reminds me so much of a couple of different Stone songs.
Ventilator Blues? Can you,
nope. Sister Morphine.
Okay.
Yeah, with the electric guitar part.
Yep.
And something I can't...
Is it on... Stray Cat?
Nope, it's on Goat's Head Soup. The drums remind me of something from Goat's Head Soup, and I'm missing it.
It's not Dancing with Mr. D.
It might be.
Okay.
It might be just that drum fill coming in.
Okay, well...
But it's like the whole era is all, you know, incestuous stuff. Like, they all listened to each other, they all knew each other, and they all, you know, lifted stuff from each other and whatever. So
the Kinks, they're a British Invasion band. And I really feel that they were definitely eclipsed by the Beatles and the Rolling Stones.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah.
And I don't know. I just think it's too bad. They should get a little bit more credit. I don't think they get any. They're kind of like the Teslas of the music world.
The weird part is that they had their three big songs, whatever, or a handful of really big songs in the early days of the British Invasion.
Yep.
And then they just kind of, they became album oriented.
Until Lola comes along, I suppose.
Well, yeah, I think that was their biggest hit, and then much later, Come Dancing.
Yeah, which is actually about his sister who died of a heart attack while dancing.
Oh, good.
Yep. But Ray has a tendency... right?
That's the response to that. That's the proper response.
That
right?
Sweet, happy song, right?
Yeah.
It's just a terrible origin, and Ray has a way to do that. It must be how he copes, because he writes these happy songs... About tragic events.
Yep, absolutely. This whole album is that way.
Yep.
Where it has this happy, up-tempo feel to a lot of the songs. Not all of them, but... And then they're about horrible things. Like, alcohol is about alcoholism.
Right.
And it's this, you know...
Here's
it's
a
bluesy,
story about
but
a
it's...
sinner. Now I know this.
Yeah.
All right. Here's one I got to admit that I skipped over.
I always did, too.
Yep.
All growing up... I like it now. I was listening to it just recently, and I was like, oh, yeah, I really like this song, because I had heard it multiple times before.
Well, it is peaceful.
Just, yeah.
It is a peaceful, it's a peaceful tune, but again, now this kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier, a British
group. This is all about American stuff.
This is American
all about American media, movies and things.
Right. Yeah. This is called Oklahoma, USA, track 10 on Muswell Hillbillies. Some of those harmonies you're talking about.
Well, these harmonies I love. These are quite a bit different, too. Because they do a really different, multiple intervals, different intervals, and not just sitting at thirds.
Doris Day. Errol Flynn. Oh, yeah, that's a great song.
And earlier in the song, he mentions Shirley Jones and name drops Surrey with the Fringe on top, and it's Oklahoma from the musical Oklahoma. So,
which we performed in seventh grade. Oh, you weren't in my choir class, were you?
No.
Yeah. No. There was a time I would have been able to bust into song right now. Yep. And I wish I was given that opportunity. But
you can't bring it up if you're not going to do it.
Yeah, right.
You know what?
Right.
Next time. Man.
So disappointed.
It's like when somebody mentions a really good movie.
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping
like if
down
we were
the plain.
Like we. All right, come on, guys.
Well, we're just about to. Okay, let's hear it.
No, I was just gonna say that it's like when you're listening to a podcast and they mention another better podcast.
Right.
That's why I'm not gonna mention one.
Oh well, there's
then
no
you're
better.
Like, well, why am I not listening to this other podcast?
Right.
Then?
There isn't a better one though.
Well, so ours, yes, but I'm saying like theoretically.
Oh, right. Yeah, theoretically, if that were possible, somebody
or
could
like
mention it.
When
yeah.
you're watching a really bad movie and then they reference a really good movie and you're like, oh, I'm just gonna watch that.
Yeah. All right. Any thoughts on Oklahoma, USA? Does it speaks to you now? Basically, that's what
it's such a calm melodic song, and I didn't get it before. But I kind of get it now. It is more of a mood song than it is like a hooky like pop song. But and it's a nice change of pace because there's no drums, it's just piano and acoustic guitar and accordion.
Yeah, that one is really out of place. I love it, but it's out of place on the album. It's just because everything else so far has been very theatrical.
Yeah,
this is just like a lullaby.
And then from there we go to a song called Uncle Son, and I mean it's a good song. Everything on the album is good, but this is another one.
I think after Holloway Jail, I kind of stopped listening to it a lot, and then I think Muswell.
Well, the end, the closing track. I always listen to that. That was always one of my favorites, but I'd skip basically Oklahoma USA and Uncle
and
this, Son.
Well, and seeing where it is in the line, I'm guessing what happened is you guys just listened to Cup of Tea three times and then just skipped down to...
That's probably what I did. In fact,
you know,
to be honest with you...
all your friends and your road trips.
To be honest with you, Holloway Jail was probably a little too dark for me at the time. Mm. At the time, that kind of stuff would have just unsettled me. But, all right, so we move on to Uncle Son. Now, is that all Ray Davies? That's Ray's doing everything? Or does the bro do anything?
Well, we didn't talk about... I don't think Davies sings at all. I'm not sure. Okay. I don't know for sure, but on Holloway Jail, I forgot to mention this, there's a female vocal group that does some cool oohs and ahs and stuff in the thing, and it made me think of like Bob Dylan's Self-Portrait. There's a lot of that stuff on there. It's done better on this, but...
Okay.
It could be one of them. That could be the case, but it does sound a lot like it's Ray Davies doing a three-part vocal harmony.
That's pretty good. Now, Kim, you're a harmony singer, so you can you appreciate can you appreciate what he's doing there in Uncle Son here? Are you for one guy?
Yeah, absolutely. Because one part there sounds female almost. I mean, he's changing his voice so much.
Yeah.
And having all three parts, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, nice job there, Ray. Somebody should tell him that he's decent. He's got a future.
Nice job, buddy.
Hey, leave me alone.
Uncle Son is apparently about his Uncle Sonny, who worked on the railroad. That's the only little bit of information I have about this song.
Is that from a source?
That's why, it's from a source. I'm not going to mention who it is. they swore me to secrecy. You have to be a very important person to be able to change that information on the website.
On this particular source.
In the source. because the song is another resonator acoustic guitar things and B3, and those are the main instruments. And it's a cool arrangement, but the song never did much for me. I think it was too slow for me.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. I think that might have been the deal. You're a lot more open-minded than I am for music,
but
so I'm surprised.
I don't think it was too slow necessarily. It was more too plodding, but I didn't, like the harmony vocal part really catches me now, and that's sort of the thing that I get from it.
So. Okay. And you mentioned that song was written about his Uncle Sonny, who was working on the railroad all the live long days. There's a lot of name references on the closing song to his life as well, like Rosie Rook, right?
Yeah.
Who's Rosie Rook?
Apparently that's the name for his mother.
Okay.
This is his mother's name or something they called his mother. I don't know.
Now I wonder
Wikipedia failed me on this.
Right. I wonder if his mother was an alcoholic, because in this song he says, "I'm going to miss her bloodshot alcoholic eyes." And of course, to me, when I was thinking to follow the story, this goes back. Maybe Rosie Rook was the alcoholic that he met while he was institutionalized.
Friend.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That was the mother's friend. Yeah. The dietitian or something like that. That's his mother's name. So
dietitian,
right? Dietitian or whatever.
Yeah.
What, in what song? In this one?
What?
Okay. Let's see. Uncle Sonny wasn't
this
working
porno
on.
No, hits you real hard, real fast.
Uncle Sonny wasn't here to stop that derailment. All right. So.
Nice.
All right, so I love the opening. Ding, 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 ding. I wish I could.
Yeah, those banjo rolls on an electric guitar. It's such a cool innovation.
And you'll hear
it. I don't know if it's innovative.
Right here. Okay, I gotta say I love this song, guys. I absolutely love this song.
I don't. I hate it.
Oh well, not. I don't.
No, I'm just being. I'm just being.
He's being obtuse.
Yeah. No, I. It's pretty standard rock band sort of format that they have throughout the rest of the album, because I don't think there's any horns or anything.
No. They've kind of dropped that.
Because I think it's Ray on an acoustic, the drummer and the bass player, and then the Dave playing the banjo roles.
Yeah, after a cup of tea, it's a rock album. It's a totally different album.
Yeah.
The album is almost divided.
And it's just an interesting... And it's doubled. The banjo roles are doubled, which is the part I find really interesting. I don't think I could do that.
Okay, well, yeah,
I think you have to be very precise to do it, and that's not something I have the time for.
Right, right. Or the patience. Or the patience to work on.
Yeah, precision is not my thing.
Yeah, Muswell Hillbillies, though, is... this, obviously, the title track was a great tune all around. I dig it, Daddy. So this is another one about them moving them on to Muswell Hill. They're taking him out of the...
Yep.
And they don't like his Cockney accent. But what's always interesting... Now, this is where the album ends. The first release, the original release of this album ends with Muswell Hillbillies. That's it. Now, I have a bonus. I have a couple of bonus tracks on my... copy, and you've got like six bonus tracks. I don't know where those came from, because he's got a DVD mixed in.
Yeah, this is the
extended.
Yeah, it comes with a disc two as a DVD with some live appearances at Rainbow BBC TV.
Okay.
In July of 72 and January of 72 is the Old Grey Whistle Test. So the album must have come out late 71 or early 72.
Okay. Well, what's interesting then, he's moving to Muswell Hill, and they're going to make him study elocution. They say his Cockney accent isn't right, but they're never going to make a zombie out of him and yada yada. They'll never change him. They can clear the slums as part of their solution, but they'll never make me something that I'm not. I might be mixing those words up a little bit, but that's essentially the motivation behind them. But then in the bonus track that goes into Mountain Woman, I always thought that was a continuation. They got taken up to Muswell Hill. And you know what? They don't mind it. Because in that track, it's... she's a mountain woman. I'm a mountain man. We're uneducated, but we're happy.
Yeah.
Spend my life with my mountain woman.
You know what's funny? Because in that song, he talks about drinking Mountain Dew. I'm drinking Mountain Dew today, too.
Hey, man.
How about that?
What a coincidence.
I got this.
So it was movements like that that really gave think that this was a story album. Like, all it was missing was the dialogue in between to make an absolute full-on musical.
That's funny, because I forgot we listened to Mountain Woman all the time.
We did.
That we had this version of the album.
Yeah. I would play that, but it's not on the traditional album, so I shan't.
Yes. We're barred from doing anything.
We are barred
like that.
From doing that. So in a couple of moments here, Kurt is going to do a little guitar lesson on the opening track, which, of course, is 20th Century Man.
First, I want to do something very special.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay. I want to read some reviews.
Oh, okay.
From Amazon.
Okay. Well, our reviews are 5-star. I got a 5-star rating on this one.
I'd give it 4 7/8.
Okay. Okay.
I don't give 5 stars to anything.
That'll be your thing.
Yeah.
That's your tradition.
Wow.
What do you got?
I can hear myself. I would say 4.5.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Right. Not bad.
Fair enough. This is a 5-star review from N. Kanda. It's one of my favorite recordings. Buy it before it's too late.
Why would it be too late?
Too late.
I don't know.
Too late for what?
Before it disappears.
Before the end of the world? It's kind of frightening.
Before you die? I don't know.
Okay, yeah.
For the love of everything that is crucial in this big, wild, and half-insane world, go out and buy this recording and see for yourself why the Kinks are one of the finest songwriters and musical outfits ever.
You know what? We don't ever... Is there more to that?
Yep, there's more.
Okay.
The tunes drip with soul, rock, blues, barroom bravado. It's a major musical accomplishment. I'm biased. I own around 20 Kinks records, and they're all fabulous, but this one is a beauty.
Okay. Ray Davies, genius lyricist. I loved how complicated that his words are. They are complicated stories. He doesn't cut any corners or rely on any fallbacks.
I noticed this album doesn't have a whole lot of examples of this, but he does a lot of different phrasing too.
Yes, he does.
Because I listened to like Waterloo Sunset. That's another fairly famous song of theirs, and it does a lot of weird moves.
Yeah,
we're gonna have to steal. We'll just steal.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to do that. You hear me, Ray?
He won't know. He's
the old man though. He's an old man now.
He doesn't know.
Yeah.
And then, okay, I'm going to read another one.
Okay.
It's from David LeBlanc. or LeBlanc.
Yeah.
One of my all-time favorite albums. This is one of my all-time favorite albums. It was not one of the Kinks' bestsellers, but it is one of their best. Ray Davies is not a man who liked the 20th century, and I imagine his view of the 21st is even worse. Songs like 20th,
great.
Yeah. Songs like 20th Century Man, Acute Schizophrenia, Paranoia, Blues, Alcohol, Here Come the People in Gray have played in my mind since I first heard this in the 70s.
Wow. You know what? The more I hear about this band, it sounds an awful lot like, well, me at least, in this band.
Yes. Yep. Well, okay. And that's what I always thought. Like, all the time growing up, I was like, well, it makes sense that Ryan likes this album. I'm going to give you a negative review now. Okay. There is one-star review.
Oh, really?
Okay, are you guys ready for this? Mm-hmm. What they said?
I don't know.
One star from RP2413. Only one disc worked.
Oh, nice.
So okay. There you go. There's the one-star review.
So the only one-star review is based on a technical glitch.
Yes.
Okay.
The format that's of the amazing. Show, one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to read some positive and negative reviews of the album. So.
Okay. Well, this one...
I prefer contemporary reviews, but I could not find any of those on Wikipedia. No. I just couldn't find any of them, period. So okay. I might just do Amazon reviews. We'll see what happens.
Okay. Okay. Well, I like that. So, again, this is Album Corners. This is our second episode. I really don't know what we're going to be talking about next, but I do tell you this. Keep checking decemberschildrennd.com for more updates. We'll also be blogging on there. You're going to have something called The Lowdown, because your name is Kurt Lowe, of course. Did you know that?
Yeah, I knew it.
And Kim over there will have Kim's Corner, and she's going to talk about, I don't know, cooking.
Because her name is
you
Kim.
Know, whatever women talk about.
Oh,
right?
Oh.
Yeah, you know, cooking, washing
cleaning
clothes.
Cleaning for her
There'll
man.
There'll be a lot of
know.
Man bashing.
Yeah, right.
Now.
Fair enough.
What are some of the things that you think you'd be covering on there? You're just day-to-day life? And I mean, that's
know,
fine.
I don't know yet.
There's always going to be something interesting there.
It's going to be a plethora of things.
Sure. And you might actually find bonus material on the Album Corners. You might, Kurt might talk a little bit about the technical recording side of things as well. You never know what's going to be up there. So check the lowdown from time to time, decemberschildrennd.com. We'll also be pushing upcoming podcasts, Album Corners, the new DC exposure. We're also going to be having podcasts on songwriting tips that we've learned over the past couple years. So a lot of good stuff. Now, also... We are going to move along to a different portion of this Album Corners, and we're going to do this when we can. There's going to be some albums that we're not going to be able to, but Kurt is going to do a little bit of a guitar lesson. We're going to talk. I don't know exactly if he's going to teach us how to play this, Kim, or if he's going to talk about what went in to the making of this one.
I don't know if
they
have enough time for that.
Yeah, right. Right? So he's armed now with his acoustic guitar, and we're going to learn a little bit about...
Can you hear this?
Yeah. Can you hear it? Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, it sounds like...
So that's the opening riff. Because it starts off with a nice, gentle... And then it goes to the five. Just a normal 1-4-5 pattern that every song does.
Okay.
But what I like is the little rock riff that he does. That... And it's this part. And this was one of the things that this album and Keith Richards taught me.
Oh, that's the hammer on there? Ah.
Because it's a suspended chord. Essentially, what you're basically doing is playing a D.
Okay.
Because this, if I just add one note to it, I'll be playing a D. But what it is it, you kind of add a four, but you keep the A in the bass. So what you can do is anytime there's an A, I could do that.
Anytime.
And it's sort of the Chuck Berry riff.
Oh, I see.
But it's adding the full chord instead.
Okay.
So that was just one of the examples of things that I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
And just have that out there. In every episode, I want to do just a little bit of a guitar demonstration.
Okay.
And what some of these songs do. And this is from 20th Century Man. I don't know if we mentioned that.
I think we did.
Okay, good.
Yeah, opening track.
Yeah. And it's just, it's a common, Keith Richards does that all the time.
So who do you think pioneered it? Was it Ray or was
it
Keith?
No, I think, no, it's a very old blues sort of move. Oh, okay. They've been doing that for a long time, especially in open tunings. Like if you have open G, you would.
Oh, okay. That's like, that would be in doing banjos too.
Yeah. So that's all I wanted to say about it. And, you know, I might get more in depth with this, not this song, but songs later on. When there are standout parts.
So that's a trick that you can use to kind of add a little bit of flavor to your songs.
Yeah, and anytime you, like when you're doing the, I like to just sometimes go.
Oh, that, yeah. To just, it looks a lot easier.
Just to have it fuller. Well, you can't play that because it should be this.
Oh, wow.
And it's a lot harder to do.
Yeah, his fingers are bending, contortionist style.
So it's for rock format songs like that, I do it all the time. And I do it a lot on any time that there's a driving beat. If you're just, because you could just sit and go. Or you could go.
Add some flavor. That's exactly what it is. And it makes you sound like you can play the guitar a lot better, too.
Yeah, and it's just it's just one move.
Yep. Okay. So. Well, that's a little take on 20th Century Man. Yeah. The opening track to Muswell Hillbillies, the second album that we are going to be that we've now covered on our podcast album Corners. So the next one, like I say, I don't know exactly what it's going to be yet. We'll discuss. We will update you on December'sChildrenND.com.
And we may eventually, when we run out of ideas for albums, have you let you suggest an album that we could talk about, listen to and talk about.
Yeah. And we have thought of, you know, it was interesting today. We were talking about doing albums we don't like, but then we realized we haven't listened to a lot of albums that we don't like.
And that's why a suggestion would help.
Right.
But then who wants to suggest the song that the album that we hate?
Yeah, right. I know you guys would hate this.
I want to do some that we don't like because I think it'll be easier to critique something. It won't be as like, oh, this is great. Oh yeah. I love this song. This song's great.
Yeah. We'll talk about why this is generic drivel or something like that. You never
or
know.
What we think is a cliche here, like what has been done too much, or like a lyric that's too common.
Okay.
I think that would be a nice one.
Well, I think we've dug into Muswell Hillbillies, and we've established again during our first podcast, we wondered what kind of rating system we were going to use to rate these albums. We went with a very original 4 and 5 star rating.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty cool. Yeah. Because we can't rate an album truly dead, can we? On the coroner's table. On the coroner's table, we give this one a heartbeat.
Well, this one is alive.
Yeah.
You know, it's got a pulse.
Mm-hmm.
It's walking around.
Having a cup of tea.
Yeah, having a cup of tea.
Having a cup of tea.
Maybe we'll do that. Maybe that's what we'll do. We'll tell you what this album is doing with its life. It has a job and a family and everything. It's fine.
Like a where are they now?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So are we coroners or are we just family practitioners here? Is this the album Practitioners?
Hey, eventually we'll find a dead album.
Okay. It's going to happen. It is going to happen. Something that's so outdated that it is now deed.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just terrible. That would have to be a really bad album, though.
Yeah. I can't wait until we come across it. Yeah. You know, there's going to be a few bodies in the water eventually. So thank you very much for listening. Look for future podcasts, DecembersChildrenND.com. Visit our Patreon page, too. And if you want to become a member, you're going to receive some exclusive content. If you get this machine up and running, songwriting podcasts, other tips, constant new music. That's kind of the way that we're going to do this. We are a band that is constantly writing, and we are going to constantly be sharing some of those creations with you.
Yeah.
So become a member of Patreon today. And it was a pleasure speaking with you today.
Yeah. Come back and see us again, huh?
Evening all.
Bye.